My name's Scott Williamson. I'm one of the ministers here. Just a couple of notices before we crack into God's Word. You'll see on your notice sheet, there's a couple of things just to draw to your attention. One is next Saturday, there's a plant sale and a coffee morning. Saturday the 18th of June at 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. here at the church. And it's just a real good opportunity really to come and to bring in neighbours. You know, we've been speaking about neighbours a lot on the Pathway course. And it'd be really good to invite your friends, come along with your friends, bring them along, and buy some plants. I did say this morning that I'd quite happily pay a bit more for some plants if they, first of all, weeded the space that the plant needed to go, and then bring the plant to my house and plant it for me. But they said that wasn't the case. We just had to buy plants and do the weeding first. So that's a shame. I would have paid a bit more if they had done that. But so bring some friends along. It's a really low-key event that you can bring some friends to. Also, just to let you know, the Pathway, I hear some of you saying, yes, you've engaged in it, you've understood of it. Some of you said, well, what was the Pathway? Well, was that happening at the church? Well, if that was you, then God bless you. But actually, the Pathway finishes this week. So we're on our last session this week. We will be doing that on Tuesday evening, and we'll be doing that on Thursday morning this week. We won't be doing it on Thursday evening here, because all the people that come on Thursday evenings are keen to go to the EU referendum debate at Holy Trinity, the in, out, shake it all about, that thing that's going on in Europe. I want to encourage you to go, if you're able to go, on Thursday evening at Holy Trinity. Stuff's on the on our website and on Facebook, and if you go on their website, it'll be there too. And then on Friday, there's going to be two opportunities on Friday to pray from 10 to 11 and from 3 to 4. Here in the church, to pray for this vote, this referendum. And interested tonight, I'm speaking about integrity, and I kind of wish some of the people I've been listening to about the European referendum would speak with integrity. Then I might have a clue who's right and who's wrong. But there doesn't seem to be much debate. But we're going to pray about that. And there's been some great resources done by the Baptist Union in partnership with other denominations. So we'll be sharing some of that and an opportunity to come and pray. Lastly, just to inform you, just for your prayers, we're looking for two new staff members at the moment, and we met with somebody on Friday with regard to an associate minister for community and discipleship, and it was a good meeting, and they've come. We wrote to them and said, let us know how you feel, do you want to journey forward with us? They wrote back to us on Saturday morning at 9:47, and I was pleased. Not always pleased to get emails, but I was pleased to get that one. And they really sense that God may be speaking to them too. So we're going to be meeting again with them in the next couple of weeks and then inviting them to come. So would you pray with me about that as well? So tonight, I'm going to invite Julie up just in a few moments. But tonight we're going to continue in our study on Proverbs. So if you've got a Bible, I want you to have it in your hand. If you haven't, there should be one under the chair in front of you. And if you haven't got one of those, look at it on your tablet. But tonight we're going to look at the subject in Proverbs about integrity. And it's a really, really important issue that we need to grapple with. But before we listen to the passage of Scripture, I want to ask you to do a couple of things tonight. First of all, I want to ask you to be honest before God's word. And isn't it interesting that, you know, when we come before God, God wants honesty when we come before his word. God wants us to be honest with where we're at before God. And I want to just ask you a question tonight. And that simple question is, how is your soul? How is your relationship with Jesus tonight? How is your life with Jesus? What do people think of you? Or not necessarily what do they think of you, but what do they see in you, and do they see Jesus in you? And I come to an understanding this week as I prepared this sermon that God does not want perfection in us. And amen to that. Amen. God doesn't want perfection in us. And I say that's great because I probably spend half my week preparing sermons and half my week for people telling me that I'm not perfect. So I'm really glad that God doesn't want perfection because I'm not perfect. But as we look about this subject tonight, first of all, I want us to understand that we're not perfect. And there is only one who is perfect, and that person is Jesus. But Jesus aspires us to reflect him, aspires us to look like him. But as I was planning this sermon tonight, I just came to that realization that actually what God wants of me, he doesn't want me to be perfect in that sense, but he does want me to be a man of integrity. But also he wants you to be a woman and a man of integrity. And in that willingness to be people of integrity, then we do get closer to perfection. Just walked 1,000 steps, my wrist just shaked at me. But actually, he wants us to be people that actually understand that perfection is good, but actually more importantly to God is about integrity. God is longing for a people of integrity. God is longing for young people to stand up today and be people of integrity in the schools and the colleges that God has called you to serve. God is asking for men and women to stand up and be people of integrity. So the first thing I want to say is this, actually God, yes, he does want perfection, but he doesn't. He'd rather have us seeking to be people of integrity. But also Jesus can also see the real us. I don't know about that, what you think about that, but God can't, we can deceive people. And sometimes we're really good at it. But we can never deceive God. We can deceive people as far as we want to. We can live a different life and a different story. And we can be something to other people that we're not really ourselves. And we can go home and be different. I once saw a person in church who never stood on the platform and never spoke and never spoke to people and couldn't speak to people. Said it wasn't their thing. And this person was a deputy head of a school, not in this church. And then I went and saw them in a totally different arena. And I thought, well, wait a second. You can. And you are. And what happened? Because actually they live two lives. They live one life in front of me in church. And they would live one life in front of their school. And then as I sat with the husband and wife at home for, I think it was 2.5 years, trying to save their marriage, a different story was at home as well. So there was three stories. And this person kept trying to chase their different stories. And what you would find is that they couldn't do it eventually. And they broke down and said, actually, I can't keep lying in that area, in this area, in this area. And then we came to a really important point where I read this passage that we're going to read tonight to him. I said, all that God wants is it doesn't matter how good you are at things. It doesn't matter if you're great or not so bad, but he just wants you to be a person of integrity. So we're going to read Proverbs chapter 11. I'm going to invite Mrs. Howard to come and read it for us. Julie, come and join us. And there's some strong words here. And I didn't write them. God did. Oh, thanks, Jesus. And we're going to try and understand them a little bit tonight.
Proverbs 11, verses 1 to 6. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless makes their paths straight, but the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires.
A nice little text. Should we just go home now? Powerful text. And I want us to try and just understand. We need a little table here. Just, I don't know who I should tell, but I feel I should tell you all. Just need a little table here. But we're going to look at this passage tonight, and it speaks about integrity. And we've all met different people in our lives, and we've all met people that seem to be something, but then they're not. And actually, God speaks here about integrity and how God wants people of integrity. God wants people of honesty. God wants people who are real before him. And so we're going to look at that tonight. And it's interesting, really, because different people always have different views of people. And views are really important. But actually, we all have to stand accountable before God for the way that we live and the way that we talk and the way that we act and the things that we say. And actually, at the end of the day, when all is said and done, I have to stand before Jesus one day on my own without you. And you have to stand before Jesus one day on your own without me. And so actually one day when we come to the end of our life, we will stand before God and we will have to give account of how we have lived. And one day I'm going to have to do that. And I won't be able to fudge it. I won't be able to say, God, well, that didn't really happen. I'll have to be honest with him. So actually, if I'm going to have to stand and be honest with him one day, I might as well be honest with him today. Because actually, it will get me out of a lot of trouble anyway. And one thing that I learned pretty on in my Christian life is actually, I'm just going to be who I am. That's going to rub people up the wrong way. Not intentionally, but it will. It will delight some. Thankfully, it delighted my wife, and that's why we're happily married. But actually, what I am in my house is what I am on this platform. And it's what I am in the office. And it's what I am in front of my parents. And it is who I am. And actually, what we can try and do sometimes is we can try and be something that we're not to please people, but we'll never be able to please anybody. Because there'll always be something that's not quite right with us. And God actually says, I don't want that. I just want you to be people of integrity. Let me just read a couple of quotes to you. Integrity means that you are the same in public as you are in private, says one scholar. Integrity means that you are the same in public as you are in private. There's no difference. You are the same in public as you are in the privacy of your own home. If you remember, those who come to the morning, we did that series about table talks. And you remember series number one, I said, what do you look like and how do you behave before God when nobody else sees you? When only God sees you. Some people said to me on that day, well, it doesn't really matter how I am. I said, yes, it does. It matters greatly because God is watching you. And actually, some scholar says, an American scholar says, integrity means that you are the same in public as you are in private. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you the same in public as you are in private? Now, I'm not talking about what you dress, but I'm talking about your character. I'm talking about your character. Is your character the same in private as it is in public? Somebody else said, integrity is built by defending temptation to be honest. Integrity is built by defeating the temptation to be honest. Integrity is built by defeating the temptation to be dishonest. Let me say it right. I'm just tired. I'm sorry. I should probably work a bit less. Integrity is built by defeating the temptation to be dishonest. That's what integrity is about. And then somebody else says this, integrity does not mean sinless, but it does describe a person by God's grace that sins less. See, that's what integrity is about. A person of integrity has the blessing of the Lord. To have integrity in our life is about being honest in dealing with our relationships with God and other people. It is a noble thing to be known as a person of integrity. When is the last time you've met a person of integrity? I want to suggest to you that it was a good meeting. It was a good meeting. This morning at the early morning communion service, which seems like a long time ago, Ken Edwards described a story of a man who simply prayed every morning that God would use him to be the man of God that God had called him to be. And I knew the story that he referred to, and he only told part of the story. But the second part of the story speaks about that man prayed every day that he would be a man of integrity. It's a noble thing to be known as a person of integrity. What do people say about you? And what do people say about me? Now we know, because you live in the same world as I do, they say things about us at times that we know are not true. They say things about us sometimes that are true. And we, the strong person, is the person when they say things about us that are true, is that we admit it and we ask God to help us. But actually, when people say things about us that aren't true, we have to know that we stand before God and just have to look to Him for what He says about us. Integrity means being willing to do what is right, even if it costs you. You see, people of integrity do what is right, even if it costs them something. They don't move the goalposts. They don't change the situation, but they actually are people who are constant. It means doing what is right, even if no one sees your actions. That's what integrity is about. It means doing what is right, even if no one sees your actions. That's integrity in the eyes of God, because God sees all things. And again, that just brings that stark reminder to us. What are we like when the world does not look at us? What are we like when nobody else sees us? Not forgetting that if we are a believer of Jesus, that God sees us in that moment. There are times when maintaining one's integrity was as important as breathing in our society. How does the world see integrity today? I wonder if actually in the world sense, integrity is a word that is actually being lost in our vocabulary, in our modern society of the United Kingdom. We can do what we want. You don't need to be a person of integrity anymore. You can just do what you want and act how you want to act. But God does not call His people to live like that. God calls His people, you and I do not disconnect myself from you because I'm here on this platform. I'm simply here on this platform so you can all see me. But I don't disconnect myself from you. I am with you on this one. See, the word integrity in our society seems to be lost. Seems to be dissolving. And when principles like that are lost in our society, surely then is the time for the church to stand and to declare them again. Its meaning is a mystery to many, many people today. In a day where morals are crumbling around us, the call to Christians is to live with integrity is crucial and a challenging one to us. You know from the school playground, you know from the college conversations, you know from the work situations, you know from the streets that you live in. In every day when we see the morals crumbling around us, surely then there is a responsibility for us as Christians to live with integrity is a crucial and challenging one of today. And I guess it will be one of tomorrow too. There are some of you that are sat in this room that hold powers and positions of great authority. And the most powerful thing that you could do is to be a man and woman of integrity in that situation. Not so that you can boast in it for yourself and say, look at me, aren't I so super duper duper? But actually all the glory can go to God. And then people can be drawn close to God because of it. It requires the willingness sometimes to be a person of integrity. Sometimes requires us to stand alone at times. Sometimes to be people of integrity, sometimes we feel we're alone because we're standing up for what is right. And we're rebelling against what is wrong. It's time that we see in the Bible in so many places, not just here in Proverbs, but the Bible is full about how God asks His people to be people of integrity and honesty. You see, it requires us sometimes to stand alone, but yet we never stand alone, do we? Those of us who stand with God. Somebody once said to me once, I felt alone when I stand up for integrity in my office that nobody else is with me. And I said, but do you love the Lord? Do you serve the Lord? They say, yes. Well, you don't stand alone then, do you? No one who confesses Jesus as Lord, when they stand up for integrity and honesty, never stand on their own. Because God is with us. As much as I love all of you, and my responsibility is to care for you, I know that there's some situations when I am on my own, I'm not alone. I need you, you need me, but actually I've always got Jesus. And sometimes it's sometimes there's situations where people say stuff about you and you just stand before Jesus and just say, Jesus, I'm not alone. I confess them to you. God sees integrity in us. And when he sees integrity in us, he is delighted with us. I don't know about you, but I love it when my Father is pleased with me. Now, I'm not talking about my earthly Father. I like it when he's pleased with me, but I don't live in his house anymore. But actually, I love it when my Father in heaven is delighted with me. See, integrity was key to Job. We haven't got time, but if we were to go read in Job 1:1, Job 8:2-3, Job 12:4, we will see there that Job knew what it meant to be a person of integrity. I don't know if you'll agree with me. You may or you may disagree that the world is crumbling and integrity is growing. I don't know. We just need to switch on our TVs and read the newspaper and see how people treat each other. The Hebrew word for this, translated for integrity, means lots of different things. It means to be whole, to be sound in knowledge, to be without spot and blemish, to be upright, to be full of submission to God according to his will, to be people of truth. You'll notice that as we progress through this passage tonight, we'll see different words for integrity, but we'll see ones called blameless and upright. And what do we want people to say about us? We want them to see Christ in us. The first theme that we see in your Bibles, you have to jump back to chapter 10, verse 9 in Proverbs, and it says this: a person of integrity walks before or lives for the Lord, not man. He who walks in integrity walks securely in the presence of God. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. A person of integrity walks before or lives for the Lord and not for man. We can so easily get caught living for man and for woman, but I'm not called to do that. I'm not called to live for man, I'm not called to live for woman, I'm not called to live for Baptist churches or Baptist church meetings. I'm called to live in integrity before the Lord. Because I know that one day, as I said a few moments ago, you and I, separately, not together, will stand before the Lord. An honest person is a secure person in the Lord. In Proverbs 3:23, Proverbs 18:10, and Proverbs 28:18, we see this expression coming out a lot in the book of Proverbs, that a person of integrity is a person who's called to walk with the Lord. Those who conduct themselves in the way of the Lord are those people of integrity. In contrast, a person of integrity will find that the Lord's presence is with them. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3, which you'll have in front of you, I hope, refers to the value of righteousness in guiding and protecting us from disaster. Have you got it in front of you? I've got so many pieces of paper. Sorry. Apologies. The integrity of the upright guides them. It refers to the value of righteousness, that the integrity of the upright, the integrity of us before God will guide them. But the unfaithful will destroy. See, God guides those who are people of integrity, guides them into the positions that they should be in. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the wicked will destroy them. Integrity is about being people who stand for what is right. When integrity is a way of life, it guides like a shepherd, and it brings a characteristic to us that changes people's life by seeing Jesus in us. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 5 teaches that an integrity keeps us on the straight path. Integrity keeps us on the straight path. When we're people of integrity, when we've got conscience, when we do things that are right and not things that are wrong, they keep us on the right path with God. I don't know about you, but do you want to be on the right path with God? Do you want to be a person that God looks at and says, I am pleased with him or her? Or are you not bothered? If you're not bothered, can I say I'm extremely concerned for you if that is the case? Because it says that integrity is the righteousness of a person who walks in the things of the Lord and doesn't get distracted by the wickedness and the difficulties around them. Righteous living lives in results. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says. Thank you, Andrew. I'm glad somebody knows the Bible here tonight. But absolutely, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understandings, but acknowledge God and He will direct your path. I.e., give your life to Jesus. Live your life for Jesus with integrity and honesty. Trust in Him and He will guide your paths. And He will lead you into where He wants you to go. And He will show you what He wants you to do. But even so often with that, we can rebel from that, can't we? Proverbs 3, verse 5. So we had it at our wedding. But we can rebel from it. Trust in myself. Do what I want to do. Walk the way that I want to walk. Live a life that I want to live. Live a life of sinfulness. Live a life of deceiving God. Live a life that is not a life of integrity. You see, God says, I want you to live a life about trusting in me and not leaning on your own understanding, but acknowledging me and I will direct your path. Living a life before me with integrity. Why? Because God uses a life of integrity to bring His name to be glorified. When I went to a church, one of my churches, and I can say it on the microphone because it was in the News of the World and the BBC, and it wasn't, it was public knowledge, that when I walked into one of my churches where I went to go and be a pastor, I walked in about a couple of weeks later, there was just this big showdown, and there was the News of the World, as it was then, taking photos on a Sunday morning, and there was the BBC there, and Sky, and then there was the loads of papers trying to get a story, and they were trying to get a story because actually what had happened is somebody in the church, in quite a senior position, had not lived a life of integrity. And they wanted to find the story so that they could just pull us down even more than where we were already at. I was in the job for 4 weeks. That was the biggest wake-up call in any job that I've ever done. But actually, when we live a life of integrity, God will use that for His glory. God will lose that for His goodness. And I don't love it, I actually hate it, but there's strong language here. The Lord detests dishonest scales. The Lord detests it when we are not honest. The Lord detests it when we're not right before Him. When pride comes in verse 2, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. God wants not, He doesn't want pride people, He wants humble people. He wants people that walk with integrity. He wants you and I to walk in humility before God, because then comes wisdom. And as we receive wisdom from God, integrity comes. And then as we reflect integrity in the world, then people see something of Jesus. Not us, but Jesus. And when we live in a world where actually integrity is so much confused and distorted today, we pray that God will help people to see not ourselves, but to see Jesus in us, to bring people into an understanding of Him. Righteous living results in a straight path. Proverbs 11:20 goes on to say, not in this passage, but then goes on to say that God looks at the life of a person and says to that person, I want you to live a life that glorifies my name. The integrity of an upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed. And then it says in verse 4, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath. So what's that saying? It's actually saying one day wealth has no purpose. And actually, a lot of people will try and get wealth by being different. They'll try and get wealth by not being a person of integrity, being a person who's not full of integrity. And it's saying that the wealth is worthless in the day of the wrath. Let's not aspire for the things that the world will put in our path, but let us aspire to be people of integrity. It's a hard walk to walk, isn't it? Or is it just me that finds it hard? All of us find it hard. But I go back to where I started. What does your life look like tonight? What does my life look like tonight? Is it real before God? Is it honest before God? You see, the Lord detests dishonesty. And I sometimes, I sometimes wonder when the Lord looks down and sees the dishonesty of a nation, but sees the dishonesty of his church, I wonder how much it makes him weep. Now that's just me. Maybe you don't think that. But the Lord detests dishonesty. But so often we can allow dishonesty to interweave itself among us. God detests people that are prideful in themselves. But sometimes we can allow that to happen in ourselves. But with humility comes wisdom. With integrity comes wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them into the ways that God wants to go and when God wants to lead them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by it. You know, God's got lots of things for you and I to do. That might not please you. That might displease you. But the reality is this, that you and I, once we gave our life to Jesus, we let go of our life. But we took on the responsibility that he has for each and every one of us to live a life that through our life, Jesus may be glorified, so that others may see him through us. You see, you and I are tools. We are really, really important to Jesus because you and I are his very presence here on earth. Jesus is here by his Spirit. Amen. Amen. Jesus is here by his Spirit, but Jesus wants to use us for his Spirit to live within us, like the temple, as it says in Scripture. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. He wants to use us in his world today to glorify his name and to draw people to his name. But God wants people of honesty. Do you remember just a few moments ago, I read some words from the Hebrew understanding, and there was lots of words there, which we're going to go back and just look over briefly. You see, the Hebrew understanding of the word just brings lots of different words. Are we people that are sound, without spot or blemish? Are we people that are upright? Are we people that would submit entirely to God and to his truth? Are we people without bitterness? Are we people who are who are blameless before the sight of God? Are we people that are complete before God? You see, integrity speaks of all those things and speaks of many other things. And this passage just simply asks of us to understand the priority that God wants for us. And the priority that God has for us in this scripture, he has lots of other priorities in lots of different scriptures, but in this scripture he says the integrity of the upright guides them. But as the integrity of the upright guides us, it guides us into things of the Lord. But as he has people see integrity in us, they start to ask questions. Have you ever been in the situation? We went away on holiday, to the big church day out. It's like this music thing, bands and stuff. And we went to the Marriott Hotel. Don't make any assumptions of me, please. It was a special offer. Because in my last church, when I said that, people said, oh, we must be paying you too much. Or you only bought a new car, they thought we were paying you too much. We went to the Marriott Hotel. It was a discount price. But as we went to the Marriott Hotel, we checked in, and the lady said to us, well, would you like breakfast? I said, well, yeah, we could. If. And then she told me the price of it. I went, well, maybe we won't. And then she said, well, actually, how old are your children? I said, well, I've got one child who's 13 and one child who is 11. And she said, well, the one for 11 gets it for free. I said, great. Sammy, you'll be all right in the morning. And Jessica, you're starving. No, I didn't say that. And they said, well, okay. And then she said, well, how old's your daughter? I said, well, she's 13. And she said, well, she could be 12, couldn't she? And I went, well, she's 13. So have a bit of a dumb moment, but I don't think it was a dumb moment. It was a moment of integrity. I said, no, she's 13. No, but she could be 12, couldn't she? Tomorrow. I said, no, she'll be 13 and a bit more tomorrow. And then we realized that she was Spanish, so we started to speak the Spanish. Remember, I thought my English had gone a bit awry. But what she was basically saying to me is actually, you have to pay if they're 13, but if she's 12 tomorrow, you won't have to pay. And I said, no. We'll pay, put it on our bill. And I had nothing, of course. The next morning, we go down for breakfast, and we walk in, and the lady says to us, good morning. I said, good morning. She said, great. And we gave her this, what's it called, your card? I don't go to hotels very often. And she said, great. And she swiped it. She said, great. She said, how old is your daughter? I said, 13. She said, well, she's not being charged for breakfast. Because the receptionist had just decided for me that she was going to be free. But I stood there and I said to her, no, she's not. She's 13, we'll pay. And she said, but you don't have to. I said, we do. And then we go sit and eat breakfast. And Jessica Sam said, well, Daddy, why? What happened there? We explained it to them. And Sammy, being Sammy, just said, oh, but Dad, you could have got it for cheap, mate. And Jessica, being Jessica, said, Dad, that was the right thing to do. We're still working with our children. Maybe your children are perfect, mine aren't yet. And they never will be. But I hope they'll be people of integrity. And as we sat over breakfast, we said to them, look, well, let's pray. And so we put our heads down and we prayed. And as we prayed, you can see people look. You know when you pray in a restaurant, people look at you like you're really crazy Christians? So we prayed. It wasn't a long prayer because the breakfast was pretty good. We just prayed. And then we had this chat about it, and we said to Sammy, but Sammy, that wasn't the right thing. Anyway, about 10, 15 minutes later, the waitress comes up to us. She said, excuse me. She said, everybody was dissolved by this place. It was just our table and another table. And she said, wow, she said, you are such an inspiration to me today. And I said, well, I've never met you before. And I thought, it must be my wife. And she said, no, could I talk to you just for 1 minute? She said, I've been a Christian in the Marriott Hotel for a long time. And every single day I fight with honesty and integrity. Every day I fight with it. Every day I find it hard. And I said, well, I used to be a chef and I know exactly, you know, how it is. And she said, you know what? You today have helped me so much. Because I can go now to that reception team that do this all the time, and I can say to them, you know what? It was wrong. And the guest said it was wrong. Now, I'm not perfect, as all of you know. And if you want perfection, then you better go and find somebody else. But actually, as for me and my house, we will seek to be people of integrity. That receptionist made us be people that weren't integral, people of integrity. She made us. We went there, and the easiest thing could have said, oh, yeah, you're great. Oh, never mind. Daddy, what did they say? Oh, nothing. And actually, after a conversation with Sammy, he was all right in the end, yeah. He's just, you know, he's a bit more Latino than British, you know. He's learning how to do this. But actually, no, he's not. He's just learning how to stand up for what is right and wrong. And I say that as a sort of joke, but actually, it happened, and it happens to you, and it happens to me every day. And we will never know. I didn't know she was a Christian. She didn't have this big cross on her chest saying, evangelical Christian serving you breakfast. She didn't even look like a Christian, because you know sometimes you can see people and say, definitely a Christian. Some people walked in for breakfast, and Angela and I just looked and said, they are so Christian-like. And as they got up to get their breakfast, they pulled their arm, and their band for the big church day out was all on show. I said, I told you they were. And probably people said the same about us. But you see, the thing is, on that moment, we chose to do what was right. And we're not perfect, and nor are you. But actually, God wants people of integrity in his church. God hates dishonesty. God doesn't mind if we get it wrong at times. We're not as perfect as he wants us to be at times. But you know what? He'll work with that. But he hates dishonesty. And he wants integrity. It says there, he detests it. It doesn't say he just dislikes it. Detest is a pretty strong word. If I went up to you and said, I detest something about you, would you be calling the elders to chat with me? Yeah, oh yeah. Well, can I do it as well? No, let's not go there. But actually, you know, you would be calling them and saying, well, how dare he? But Jesus says, God says, he detests that in us. And I think I'm just going to finish by just saying two things to you. Don't please me, because you're going to go wrong. But with me, why don't you come alongside me? Which, what as I've learned this week, is that actually I have a responsibility to do what doesn't detest God but pleases him. I have a responsibility that when I'm proud, to put it in the rightful place because it disgraces him. I have a responsibility to be a person of humility because then comes wisdom. I have a responsibility to be a person of integrity and of upright character and to faithfully walk with God because that's what God requires of me. Are you a person of integrity? Don't put your hand up, but just ask the simple question. You know in your life, and I know in my life, and let me tell you now, my hand's been up in my office about 25, 30 times this week. You know the things that you need to say, God, I'm sorry, help me to do it better. Don't you? No, just me. Well, I'll be serious with the Lord. But you know the things in your life today that are not showing character of integrity. And I simply just ask you, as I've asked myself, and I will continue to ask myself, is take it before God. Because we never know what will happen. But actually, it really didn't matter, did it? About the receptionist and the lady serving me breakfast. It did on earth, but actually, it didn't really matter, but it will do one day when I stand before God. It will do one day when I stand before God, and it will do one day if you stand before God. Just imagine for a moment. If you and I, we left this place tonight, we didn't try and be something that we're not. We didn't try and live a way that we know we can't. We didn't try and do the things that God's called somebody else to do, but we'd rather we concentrate on the things he called us to do. But what about if we go away from this place tonight, people of integrity, people of humility, people of grace, people of love, people who stand up for what is right and shout out against the things that are wrong. What do you think, A, the world would look like, and B, the Father would say about us? The challenge tonight is this: wisdom. The whole book of Proverbs is about wisdom. And the wise are simply people that walk in integrity. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to walk in integrity? For me and my house, we will. Because it's what the Lord requires, and I fear God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you.